Hello and welcome to Faith Comes by Hearing, an evangelical Christian podcast brought to you by Verdun LaSalle Baptist Church, located in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'm your host, Carlton Cumberbatch. Thanks very much for joining us. Each week, Pastor Jerry Sauvé explores and examines the Word of God in order to reveal the treasures found in its pages that will better equip the listener for their personal growth in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's join Pastor Sauvé for today's message.
Well, let's pray just before we look at the Word of God together. Father, we come to you this morning grateful and thankful that we can approach your Word, that we can grow in our understanding of how you are working in our lives individually and in the life of the church. And today, Heavenly Father, as we come to the Word of God in Acts chapter 16, we discover that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was working in a very definite way, leading the church, leading men who were serving you. And we realize, Father, that your Spirit is still the same today. That Holy Spirit, just as you were working 2,024 years ago in the life of the church, you are still working today in our lives. That sometimes you are forbidding us to do something. Other times you are stopping us from going to certain places. And then other times you are opening doors of ministry for us. And Father, sometimes we might be frustrated or confused about these things. But as we pray and seek your guidance, as we will see today in the story of Paul and Silas and Timothy, we will see that you guide very directly in the purpose that you have. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to lead us today in our study of the Word of God, that we might have a deeper understanding of your truth. Father, we want to pray also for the needs of our church for just one moment. And, Father, we think this morning of Alberto's mother. As she flew back to Mexico, she was not well when she arrived there, and she has seen a doctor, and there are things happening. But, Lord, we would just pray that your hand would be upon her, that, Lord, you would heal her body, that you would draw her close to yourself, as well as her husband, and draw them near and assure them that you are watching over them. Father, we continue to lift up Alberto also. We pray, Lord, that you would help him to recuperate fully, that you would have your hand on his life, and that you would draw him near to yourself, as well as Noel and Davey D. Father, we thank you for what you've done in their lives. It's been a testimony to us, Father, as we have observed all of this happening. It has been really a blessing to us to see how your hand directs the lives of your people and how you watch over us. So, Lord, keep us mindful of all of this. And, Father, we pray for our community. We pray for the need of the gospel being preached here. And, Father, we pray as we look forward to the springtime, as we begin our evangelistic outreach again, that, Father, you would open ways so that perhaps we can start evangelizing right in this area, down by the boardwalk or in our neighborhood. So give us insight. Show us what you want us to do. Guide us, Holy Spirit, as you did with Paul and Silas and Timothy. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited to share with you today from my study of the Word this past week. It's been a real blessing to look at several of the things that I want to share with you. And I want to talk to you about the leading of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit leads in our lives. And I want to use this little section that we have right here of just a few verses that really talks about how the Holy Spirit led in the life of the early church. And it's important for us to keep in mind that just as the Holy Spirit was leading in the early church, he's leading in the church today. He's doing exactly the same thing. And so let me just reread the text to you, and I want you to note some of the things that I mentioned in verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, this is Paul and Silas and Timothy, that new evangelistic team that are going out on their second journey. that as they went through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So that's striking, that the Holy Spirit would forbid, that he would somehow stop them from preaching the word of God in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. That would be north of Asia, as you'll see on the map. But the Spirit did not permit them, and so they couldn't get into the area. So passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with them, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So I want to share with you kind of this geographical study. Now, I tried to make the map as big as I could, and that's as big as I could get it on the screen. But I think I'll be able to show you pretty much what's happening. If you look to the right hand of the screen, about a half or a quarter of the way down, you possibly will see Antioch. That's where they started from. And they're going up. If you follow the red line, they're going up through Galatia and up through Asia. Bithynia is that top section, that dark-colored top section. Down below that is Asia. And at the very end of that takes them over, as they cross the Aegean Sea, takes them over to Macedonia. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. But let me just begin by saying that as we began our study of the book of Acts, one of the verses that really got our attention in the very first chapter of the book of Acts was when Jesus made a promise to his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit would empower them to become effective witnesses of the gospel for him. And what's important to remember is the day that you repented of your sin and came to faith in Jesus Christ, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you as a believer. And so everyone who is a true believer in Christ is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living within you, and he speaks to you as you read the word. As you read the Gospels and the epistles and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses that and he speaks to you from the Word. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so on that map, you have the picture there of how the gospel has already been preached in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and now they're going to the ends of the earth with the gospel. So this promise of Jesus to his disciples is really the key to everything that's happening in the book of Acts. Take away the Holy Spirit and nothing is happening. It's because the Spirit is presence, and every successful and unsuccessful attempt at ministry, as we shall see today, was as a result of the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said in Acts 1:8 was true for the early church, and it continues to be true for the church today. And I'll show you a little bit later on how absolutely true and effective that is, and how we have recently just experienced that very thing. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can only, in a sense, grind the wheels of ministry. In other words, without the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, we're just trying to do everything in the efforts of the flesh, and it will only produce carnal results and will not lead to the blessing of the church, but rather to her demise. Jesus, back in the Gospels, as you remember the Gospel accounts, had already taught his disciples that the Holy Spirit would come, that the Holy Spirit would have an important ministry in their lives. And I want to read to you a few passages from the Gospel of John, particularly from John chapter 14 and 15, where Jesus really made it clear to the disciples that they would need the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish ministry successfully. So turn with me to John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. Jesus said there, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, that's a basic fundamental truth of Scripture, that if we love the Lord Jesus, the proof will be that we will keep his commandments. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." So Jesus used the word helper here for the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to help you. "I will give you another helper," just as he, Jesus, had been their helper while he was there. Now that he's gone back to his Father, he said, "I will send another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you forever." He'll be with you right till the end of the age. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So that's what I was saying at the beginning, that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us as believers. And we know his presence because we see his work in us as he directs our lives. Jesus called him another helper. This is the Holy Spirit that would now take the place of Christ after his ascension when he's returned to the Father. And the Spirit would lead the apostles into a deeper knowledge of the Word of God, of the gospel and of its truth. And he would also give divine strength. The Holy Spirit would strengthen us as believers. We have very limited strength in ourselves. Humanly speaking, we're flesh, we are weak. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our strength. And what does he do? He enables us. He empowers us to do all kinds of things, to endure trials and persecutions that were certainly to come to the church, as we know it did, and that will come our way. We will go through trials during this life, and they can bear it, they could bear it, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and we can bear it. We can go through all kinds of things because of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And we know that that did happen after the ascension of Jesus. The apostles and the disciples went through all kinds of trials. You remember, as we began our study of the book of Acts, they were arrested, they were jailed, they were persecuted. Some of them were put to death because of their testimony for Jesus. So what gave them the courage to endure these things? Well, it was the promise and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They endured horrible things. History tells us that Christians were painted with tar and they were put up on posts and lit with fires so that it could keep the streets lit. And it was a horrible thing. They were thrown to lions, lions that had not been fed for several days, so they would be hungry. And they were thrown to them. And what gave them the courage to be able to go through all of this was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we hear a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit from different groups of believers today. And it seems from what some of them tell us that the Holy Spirit only has good things for us, that the Holy Spirit has good things in store, that our lives are to be filled with success and fulfillment. Well, try to tell that to the early church. That's not what they experienced. They were not becoming rich. They were not becoming successful. They were being killed. They were being persecuted. They were going through all kinds of difficulties and hardships. And so Jesus knew. He knew that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to help them would be necessary for them as disciples because they would have to suffer for his name's sake. Listen to what Jesus says a little bit farther on in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. John 15, 18 to 25. And lest we think that as Christians, we are supposed to be loved by the world and admired by the world, and if we tell them about God and Jesus, that they will like us, that's foreign to the gospel. That is another gospel. That is a false gospel. Listen to what Jesus said about what would happen as a result of our relationship with him. He says in verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." That's a striking statement. Jesus said, because I have chosen you and called you to be my own, expect that if you are living for me, the world will hate you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in your law, they hated me without a cause. Jesus knew very well. He knew very well that just as the world had hated him, they would also hate his followers. They would hate his disciples, and that they would need a helper. The disciples would need a helper, someone who would support and encourage and strengthen them in their trials. So he promised them. He said, "I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be your comforter in the midst of your trials." Listen to what Jesus continues to speak in John 15, 26 to 27. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit will speak of me. He will teach you about me. And then you will go out and you will testify of me to the world. So Jesus promised them the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, so that in spite of all the difficulties that they were going through, they would continue to bear witness to Christ in spite of anything they might have to endure. And when we read the history of the early church, we can't help but admire how they worked, how they persevered in the midst of struggle and trial and difficulty. They just didn't stop. Now listen to what Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. He describes for us the work of the Holy Spirit, John 16, 5 to 15. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow now fills your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying and explaining to them that it was necessary for him to go away. In the plan of God, It was necessary for Jesus to go back to the Father so that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would come to them. And here Jesus describes what the Holy Spirit's work is. The Spirit's work is to convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And specifically to the apostles, he said that the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth, truth that they couldn't receive at the moment, but that would come to them, a truth of the things to come. And the apostle taught, and the apostles taught the early church, many of the things they taught were those things that Jesus gave to them that were revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told his disciples these things while he was with them. So they understood all of that. But now, at the point where we find ourselves in the book of Acts, Jesus has returned to the Father, and the Holy Spirit has been given to the church in the day of Pentecost, and they are being led by the Holy Spirit. And in the passage in which we find ourselves this morning, we have a really interesting description of how the Holy Spirit led. Often when we think of the leading of the Holy Spirit, we think of all the positive things, all the good things, all the great things that happen. But Paul and Silas and Timothy are setting out on their second missionary journey, and it's all quite amazing what begins to happen. As we read about what happened to Paul, Silas, and Timothy, we need to be aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit, who is God, who never changes, continues to do work in the church, and he continues to guide and to lead the work of the church. That's very important for us to understand, because even today, the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing, that all that we do needs to be done under the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we seek his leading, that we seek to understand what he's telling us to do in everything that he wants us to do. And that applies to our personal life, as well as to our corporate life as the church. Now, our text this morning gives us a lot of geographical information. That's why I wanted you to have that map in front of you. Paul and Silas and Timothy are the new evangelistic team. You remember that before, it was Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark defected from the group. That left Paul and Barnabas and the other men that they had taken with them. And they returned back to Antioch, gave a report of their trip. The whole issue came up regarding the circumcision of the Gentiles, and we know all that happened there. But this now is the second missionary journey. Now they want to go a little farther. So if you look at the map and you look at Antioch, that is on your right-hand side in the green section about halfway down the map, you'll see that on the first missionary journey, they left Antioch and they went over to that island of Cyprus. You see the little island there just off the coast of Israel? They went over to Cyprus. Then from Cyprus, they went directly north. That would be the Galatian area. You see the word Galatia written up there in that whole area? So they went through there and established some churches and came back to Antioch. So that was a much smaller trip. Now they're doing a much more extended trip. But as they leave on that trip, they're not too sure exactly where they're going to go. They really want the leading of the Holy Spirit and his direction. So you remember that when they came back to Antioch, some of the Judaizers were saying that now as Gentiles, you Gentiles need to become Jews and you need to be circumcised in order to be really saved. And that caused a lot of confusion, a lot of doubt in the early church. And so they went to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and the elders in order to seek their counsel. And they established the Jerusalem Council, and the conflict was resolved. The council said, no, Gentiles do not need to become Jews and be circumcised, that repentance and faith is all that is needed for one to be saved. And by the way, that is the gospel that we still continue to preach today. You're not saved because your parents were Christians. You're not saved because you come to church. You're not saved because you like God. You will be saved when you repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is our sin that separates us from God. We have a sin problem. We have a sin issue that needs to be rectified. And so we need to come in repentance. That means turning away from our sin. So we need to come to God and say, I regret my sin. I turn away from my sin. And I turn to Christ. My entire hope is in Christ, in the work that he has done at the cross on my behalf. And my faith is in him, that what he did at the cross satisfies you, Father. It satisfies you, and as I trust Christ, you impute his righteousness to me so that I can know you, and you fill me with your spirit. And so that's what they told the believers, the Gentile believers, that they did not need to become Jews, they did not need to be circumcised, but that their repentance and their faith in Christ was all that was needed. So as Paul and Silas and Timothy begin this second missionary journey, they brought copies of the letter that the council had issued, and they brought them to all those churches that they had established that were mainly composed of Gentiles. They went around to all those churches and read the letter to them and told them, don't worry about what the Judaizers told you. You don't need to become a Jew. You don't need to be circumcised. Your repentance and your faith is all that was needed for you to become a child of God. You don't need to add anything to your faith. So likewise, we need to understand that as believers today, it is our faith in Christ that saves us. We don't need to do good works to be saved, although as Christians, we will want to do good works. We will want to obey Christ. We don't need to go through ceremonies or rituals to be saved. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. So now begins in earnest the second missionary journey. And it seems that Paul, Silas, and Timothy plan to go to Asia. Now they want to go to Asia to preach the gospel. So Asia is that big yellow section about halfway through the map. And as you notice, the red line is going over there. So they're going into Asia. But something extraordinary happens. The Holy Spirit forbids them to preach the gospel. Look at verse 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, that's the right-hand side part of your map, the big green section, as they had gone through there, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. This is an amazing turn of events. Why would this happen? It's an amazing turn of events for several reasons. First of all, we would think that the Holy Spirit would bless the preaching of the Word of God in Asia, that he would bless it. After all, these people needed to hear the gospel. All of these people were pagans. They needed to be saved by the grace of God. And as Paul and Silas and Timothy were willing to go, they were willing to risk everything, their safety, their lives, to preach to the people of Asia. But we read in the text that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. I was curious about the word forbidden. I wanted to understand, what does that word really mean? It's a rather strong word. The Greek word means they were prevented. They were hindered. And they were withstood or forbidden, the word that Luke uses here. And it has the added sense of withholding something from somebody. And so they were prevented from preaching the gospel, and the gospel was withholded from the people in Asia. This is amazing. They were denied the gospel. It was not able to be preached to them. Well, how can this be? Why would the Holy Spirit do something like this? Why would it be that the Holy Spirit would hinder Paul and Silas and Timothy from going into Asia with the gospel, and in so doing, denying these people the opportunity to hear the gospel and to be saved? Well, as I thought that through, a verse from the Old Testament came to my mind. Look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Listen to what Isaiah records. He says there, speaking of God, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Basically, what God is saying is, my ways are much more important, or it's not the word that I want to use. My ways are what is important. I know everything. I know the end from the beginning. And so I guide everything according to my will. And so it seems to be the case here that Paul and Silas and Timothy were not really clear on what it was that God wanted them to do. They didn't really have the mind of God at this point, that they had to discover that. And by the way, that happens to us all the time. As we go through life, we have decisions to make. We have things that we need to do. We don't always know what to do. And we have to seek the Lord's guidance. In fact, the whole area of Asia would eventually hear the gospel as Paul and Silas and Timothy returned on their journey back to Jerusalem. Because if you follow the red line, you'll see the red line goes around through Macedonia, and then it goes south, and they go back to Ephesus. Well, Ephesus was one of the cities in Asia. And we know that a little bit later on the journey, the gospel is going to be preached in Asia, but not right now. And not only that, that there would be churches that would be founded in Asia that you're all very familiar with, because they're the seven churches that we read about in the book of Revelation. The church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They are all the churches that are found right there near that area of Ephesus in that entire circle. And by the way, it was a mailing route. When letters were sent out, they were sent to Ephesus, and then the mailman would go around that circle to all those different areas of the churches that are enumerated there in Revelation chapter 7. But for the moment, this is how specific the Spirit of God is when He does things. For the moment, the plan and the leading of the Holy Spirit are different from what Paul, Silas, and Timothy have in mind. This must have been very frustrating for them. If we had been with them, I think we would have experienced that. These men who were so keen to share the gospel of salvation, they were so ready to go and do it. Now, we don't know what it is that the Holy Spirit did to forbid them. Perhaps He spoke to Paul through a vision because we know that that was happening. Or maybe there were just circumstances that happened that blocked their way from entering into Asia to preach. We don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us because the text doesn't give us those details. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit is able to forbid men from doing things. He's able to hinder them. He's able to stop them. He's able to block the way or hinder the plan in an effort to lead people in a different direction. You know, when I was studying this, I couldn't help but see in the narrative how the Holy Spirit still works today in our lives as believers. I find that very exciting. Sometimes our plans don't work out. I'm sure that's happened to many of you. You've got plans to do things, but the plans don't seem to work out. Could it be that the Holy Spirit is forbidding you or me to go in that direction? Could it be that the plans are not working out because the Holy Spirit is the one forbidding? Sometimes we feel like everything that we do seems to be backfiring or it's not successful. Could it be that the Holy Spirit is hindering us because He has something else that He wants to do through us? I think it's very interesting to understand how the Holy Spirit is so intensely involved in our lives. And if you're a Christian and you know Christ as your Savior today, the Holy Spirit is your manager. He is in your life, and He is directing everything that you do, whether it happens to you individually or whether it happens to us corporately. Now, let me give you an illustration that you're well aware of, that we speak about often, but it's a perfect illustration of this. You all remember when we were at the United Church on Clemenceau Street and how disappointed we were when our offer to purchase that building was refused, or at least how disappointed I was. I think you were all aware of that. When after all the work that we'd done, we'd been there for 2.5 years, we pretty much felt like we owned the building already. We were there all the time. Everything was going well. But it didn't work out. Our offer was rejected, and somebody put in a better offer. That took us by. We didn't think anybody would even put an offer on the building. What was happening there? Was it the Holy Spirit who was forbidding us to buy that building? It was frustrating. It was complex. We had to go into another rental situation and still have no home that we could call our own. But within 3 months of that experience, the Holy Spirit opened an unlikely door. I received an email telling me that this building was for sale, and we began our investigation, and piece by piece by piece, everything began to fall in place. Everything began to work out perfectly. Why? Because this is where the Holy Spirit wanted us. Not one block away from here on Clemenceau Street. What does that tell us? That tells us how specific the Holy Spirit is. I don't want you there. I want you here. We didn't even know that here existed until a little bit later on when we came by one day and saw a sign in the window. We had no idea that this was even here. We were just one block away. But God, the Holy Spirit, was forbidding us to buy there because He wanted us here. And now that we're here, we love here. And we realize how much better here is than there. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you that because sometimes we miss it. We just don't see what. But that was the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we see happening in the lives of Paul and Silas and Timothy. You know, I can know how they felt disappointed because I know how disappointed I was. I remember the day we drove away. I said to Jill, yeah, I love this building. I love this neighborhood. I love being close to the boardwalk. I can see so much potential. Why is God taking us away from here? And I can imagine that Paul and Silas and Timothy were probably saying, why is God forbidding us to enter Asia? It's such a ripe area for the gospel. We could go in there and preach the gospel, and so many people would come. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Why is He forbidding? And when we don't know the end of the story, it's always frustrating. It requires faith to just trust God. Does the Holy Spirit still work that this way today? Of course He does. We have experienced it. We just need to be attentive to His leading. So there was a lesson learned. God was teaching us something very important. And when we are led by the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into God's perfect will. It was not God's perfect will for us to be on Clemenceau Street. He wanted us here on Lloyd George. Why? We don't know the answer to that yet. Isn't that exciting? How God would do that, take us one block away because He wanted us right here. And why does He want us right here? That's the question we can't answer right now. We don't know why, but we know that it's part of God's plan. So the next time your plans are foiled, the next time you have plans to do something and it doesn't work out, take the time to seek to understand what it is the Holy Spirit is doing, and where it is He wants to lead you. Well, after Paul and Silas and Timothy were forbidden to preach the word in Asia, that's that big yellow beige section in the middle of the map, when they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia, they went on to Mysia, and tried to go into Bithynia. Well, Bithynia is just north of Asia in that reddish area on the right-hand side of the map. They said, well, if we can't get into Asia, let's go up to that area. And they were not permitted. Look at verse 7. They were not permitted by the Holy Spirit. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So here are Paul and Silas and Timothy. God doesn't allow them into Asia. They're forbidden to go there. We don't know how, but it happened. So now they say, okay, well, let's go north. Let's go to Bithynia. That probably seemed to be the next best option. But again, the Holy Spirit does not permit them from entering into that region. Now, how would you be feeling about now on your missionary journey? You couldn't get into Asia, and you can't get into Bithynia. And I suppose that some of us might begin to think that maybe we should head back to Antioch. Maybe we should just go back to hand. You know, maybe this whole idea of a second missionary journey, it's not really what the Lord wants for us. Maybe this is not God's will at all. But listen, they've got Paul on their team. And Paul was convinced that he should be on this journey. And this text teaches us something of the merit of perseverance. You know, we live in an age right now of short-term gratification. You know, we talk about long-term and short-term. We should have long-term goals and short-term goals. There is long-term gratification and short-term gratification. Most people today live in short-term gratification. What does that mean? Short-term gratification means I want it and I want it now. I'm not willing to wait. I'm not willing to wait to get it later. I want it right now. That's where credit comes from. You know, instead of paying for things, the world invented credit so that we can get what we want right now. But there's a price. There's interest we have to pay on what we just purchased. And so as believers, the Bible teaches us that there is value in perseverance. As a Christian, our life should be filled with perseverance. We're taught to persevere in prayer. In Ephesians 6:18, we're saying, praying always with all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When we pray to God, He's not into instant gratification. He's into long-term gratification. Now, granted, sometimes He answers our prayer right away. But most of the time, God will have us pray for a period of time before we get the answer to that prayer. To persevere, we're also called to persevere through trials and temptations. In James 1:12, we read, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation," or who perseveres through trials. "For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And so we're to persevere through trials. We're to persevere through difficulties. A lot of people can't do that. They get discouraged. They get depressed. They quit. But we're to persevere. We're taught in the Word of God to be people who persevere. And then in Hebrews 10:36, "For you have need of endurance," or perseverance is the word there, "so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." So often we give up when, if we have persevered, we would be blessed. I was just thinking, you know, when we left Clemenceau Street and went into a rental situation, it was kind of nice. The rent was a good amount. We walked into a church. We didn't own it. We're not responsible for any of the problems. We just walk in, we walk out, and it's over. So we could have said, well, hey, let's just stay in this situation. And when this building came up, we might have said, oh, there's no point getting involved in all of that. Let's just stay where we are. But we didn't. We persevered. We knew that God wanted us to have a home, that God wanted us to have a place where we could, and we can do so much more. We can minister so much more in our own building. We have our own schedule and our own time. Well, here are our friends and brothers in Christ, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, facing another wall. And the Holy Spirit does not permit them to enter Bithynia. These men, again, they want to preach the gospel. They're filled with zeal for the message of the gospel. They have a burden for the souls of men and women, and they are willing and able to go, but the Holy Spirit is not allowing them to go to Bithynia. So they don't have any choice. They either have to go back to Antioch, or if they want to press on, they've got to go west. And they've got to go west right to the edge of what will be the Aegean Sea. So you see the Mediterranean Sea down there in the middle of your map. As you go up, that sea that's indented there, that's the Aegean Sea. And so they end up going to a city or a town that's right on the point of the Aegean Sea, a town called Troas. So my question at that point would have been, okay, Lord, now what? You stopped us from going into Asia. You've stopped us from going into Bithynia. What do you want us to do? Where is the Holy Spirit leading us? So while they're in, and remember that this trip took quite a while. They've traveled many miles. This has been a few months of traveling, if not more. So they're probably weary. They're tired. So they stop in Troas to have a time of rest and to pray, I'm sure, to try to understand what is it that the Holy Spirit is doing? Where is he leading us? And it's there that Paul has a vision of Macedonia. And I find it interesting that as they stop in Troas, as they're quiet, as they're praying, and as they're seeking the Lord's leading, that they get the vision of what they should do. And you know, sometimes when things are not going well and we're trying to figure our way through things, we start to use a lot of human efforts to try to figure things out. And God is asking us to just stop. To just stop all of our maneuvering. To stop all of our human efforts and just pull away. Just pull away and pray and try to seek the Lord's will. So look at what happened in verses 8 and 9. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So now this perplexed evangelism team begin to understand why the Holy Spirit has forbidden them from going into Asia or going into Bithynia, why he's not permitted them to do that, because he's got another plan. He's got another plan. In a night vision, Paul sees a man of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is across the Aegean Sea over to the left-hand side at the top of the map. That's where Macedonia is. And so they realize the Holy Spirit has another plan. Paul has the vision of the man saying to him, come over here and help us. The story kind of reminds me of Cornelius. Remember when Cornelius had the visit of the angel, and the angel said to him, send for Peter. And so Peter sent men to them and said, come over and tell us what you need. Come over and share with us the gospel. That's what the Macedonian man is saying. Come over and help us. Come and share the gospel with us. And so in this vision, he sees this man across the Macedonian Sea. So now everything begins to make sense. Now Paul and Silas and Timothy begin to understand why the Holy Spirit hindered them in Asia, why he stopped them from going up to Bithynia, because he wanted them to be in Macedonia. That should encourage our faith, that the next time you go through difficulties and you feel like you're not getting ahead and things are hard, maybe it's because God's asking you to change your plan. Maybe it's because God's asking you to pull back, think things through, and seek his guidance as to what he wants you to do. Isn't it exciting to know that this is how God works? Isn't it exciting to read a little text like this and understand that this is how the Holy Spirit is working? To know that if we are serving him, if we are serving the Lord, he is very present with us. And that if we are attentive to what he's telling us, we can be assured that he will guide us by his Spirit into his perfect will. And sometimes that will include disappointment. Sometimes it will mean that things will not work out. Sometimes it'll be like me in that little church on Clemenceau Street that I thought was so perfect. There could be nothing else for us. And I wanted it so bad, I could taste it. And God forbids me. He forbids us from buying it. And I walk away from that so disappointed, but also praying. So, Lord, what is your, why did you take that away from us? I'll let you in on a little bit of things I was praying. Lord, why did you make me like that so much? Why did you tease me for 2.5 years with that building and then take it away? Why did you do all of that? Not understanding that God had a whole different plan and beginning to realize what God was doing. It's not always a smooth journey as some would like us to believe or as we would like it to be. In fact, I think most of the time it's a bumpy journey. And you know why it's bumpy? Because God's teaching us along the way. He's teaching us to learn to be dependent on Him. But the wonderful thing about it is that if we are faithfully following the Lord and we really desire to do His will, He will use all of those circumstances, even what might seem really negative to us, in order to guide us to His desired end. What a relief it must have been to this team, to Paul and Timothy and Silas, to finally understand what the Holy Spirit was doing, that He had led them right through Asia, right through Bithynia, right to this city of Troas, and now He was going to take them across the Aegean Sea. Now they needed to cross over, arrive in Macedonia, and then the Holy Spirit would begin to open the door. Now they would understand everything the Spirit wanted to do. Look at verse 10. Now after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want you to note a few things here. First of all, don't you like the tone of the verse? It says, now after he had seen the vision, they stayed in Troas for a little bit longer just to be sure that that's really what God was saying. No, that's not what it says. It says, now after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. When I received an email saying that this building was for sale, I called the men of the board right away, and immediately we came over here. There was somebody else looking at the building. Can you imagine how we felt? We arrive here, we park at the front, another car parks in front of us. Three people got out of that car and came into the building. And we thought, we're not the only ones looking at the building. So we walked in behind them. We kind of visited the building and stood with the agent back there. But those people were going all over. They were going up into the attic, checking everything. I thought, you know what my first thought was? They're going to get it. Lord, why have you done this to us again? Why have you brought us here and we're not going to get this? My negative thinking. Because I could see these people. They were so excited about this building. They were talking among themselves, but immediately we came over and we had a look. I want you to notice another thing, because something happens in the wording of the verse. Now, after he had seen the vision, that's Paul, immediately, it should say, they sought to go to Macedonia. The grammar is wrong. It says immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia. Do you know why it says we there? Because Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, has joined them. Now he's there. That's why Luke is not talking anymore about they. He's talking about we. That's a very pivotal point in the book of Acts. Because now all of a sudden we understand that Luke, who is writing this book, has now joined them, because he was probably somewhere in the area. He has joined them, and it says that we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel there. So there they are together. The team has grown. They're immediately going. These men had their hearts set on one thing, that was to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel, and now nothing was going to deter them. They had worked through the struggle. They had worked all through the struggle of trying to determine where the Spirit was leading to them. And now that they knew, they immediately went without delay. They got on a ship. They went over, stopped in Samothrace, and went to the coast of Macedonia, Neapolis, and they found themselves in Macedonia. What an exhilarating feeling that must have been when they arrived in Macedonia. And now they were going to discover the purpose of God. They were going to discover all that God had planned. And we're going to look at that in the next few weeks. They're going to discover a lady by the name of Lydia while they go to a prayer meeting down by the water. And Lydia is a wealthy lady. She's a businesswoman. She was a seller of purple. She lived in Thyatira, and she's going to come to faith in Christ. And a little church is going to begin to develop right there. And then there's going to be a slave girl who's going to be delivered of a demon. And because of that, it's going to lead to the imprisonment of Paul and Silas. But the prison that they're in is in Philippi, and there's a guy there that we call the Philippian jailer who's going to come to faith in Christ during the night when there's an earthquake, and his whole family is going to come to faith, and a church is going to be developed there. And so all of a sudden, everything is going to begin happening. All kinds of things are going to occur. And so we're going to look at that in the next few weeks. But because they were willing to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, even when it was discouraging. And brothers and sisters in Christ, let me just tell you something. That just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that everything is going to go smoothly in your life. In fact, I will guarantee you that because you are a Christian, a lot of things will not go smoothly in your life. You'll have a lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles. But what you need to understand is all of those things are things that God the Holy Spirit allows for his purpose. You might not understand the purpose at the moment. You know, you might not, you know, I'm sure Alberto and Noel are wondering, like, why did this happen to me? But God has a purpose, because the Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so no matter what trial, what difficulty we go through, all of those things are happening because God's leading us somewhere. And we don't always have the answer right at the moment, but God is leading us somewhere. And so this text applies so well to us in our spiritual lives as individuals and as the church, as we seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' promise was true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. While he has returned to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in an understanding of his perfect will for us. So how exciting it is to live in this way. It's challenging, can be scary, but how exciting it is to live in this way each day, seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, whether it be for our personal lives or for our life in the church. God has led us. And God will continue to lead us as we watch and pray and follow his guiding hand. Now, let me just tell you a little story as I finish. It's about Don, and he doesn't know I was going to say this. But yesterday, we were having breakfast around the table downstairs. And, you know, we talk. Not only the women talk, but the men, we like to talk too. And Don was saying, you know, down by the boardwalk, the perfect place to do evangelism. And what if we set up a little... You know, have you ever been down on the boardwalk where people set up those tents, those tent covers, and they hand out stuff to people that are going by? And he said, you know, we could go down there and maybe give out coffee or water bottles or whatever during the summer. And I started thinking about what you said, Don, on my way home yesterday. And I got thinking about the fact that we want to evangelize our community, but, you know, people don't like us going to knock on their doors and talking to them and all that kind of stuff. But what if we focused our evangelism down on the boardwalk this summer? We're right in our own community. We're right in Crawford Park. All the people that are going by there, some of them are from outside, but a lot of them are from right from the area. And what if we ask God to show us, what is it you'd like us to do? Lord, you put us right here in Crawford Park. We're one block up from the boardwalk. How could we have an effective ministry down there? Now, there's a lot of questions in my mind. I don't have the answer to everything. But I'm looking to the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, Don didn't bring that up for nothing yesterday. There was a reason why you prompted him to bring that up at our meeting. And it got my wheels turning. How could we, you know, work down there? We could still go to Lionel Group, but maybe have a team there and a team here, or one Saturday be here, one Saturday. I don't know how it would work out. But my thought was, did the Holy Spirit prompt Don to say that so that we would begin thinking in a different way? And you know, that's often what the Holy Spirit does. He prompts us to start thinking of what possibilities there might be where we thought there was no possibility. So let's be praying. Let's be praying for God's leading. It's still early. It's January. We won't be out there till about April or May. Let's be praying and saying, Lord, what about the boardwalk? That's a neat place down there. That's a great place to be. A lot of people there in the summer. And we did some open-air preaching once this summer. We could go back there on Sundays. What about if we focused our evangelism in that area to try to reach our community? You know, I'm here during the week. This community is full of young families who have moved in. These were all wartime homes at one point where soldiers lived. But now it's all young families, moms and dads walking their kids and their dogs during the week. I see all kinds of people going by. I hear kids in the morning going up to the school at the corner. This place is full of people, young families, that need to be reached with the gospel. And could it be that God put us right here, in a kind of a contemporary building? You remember the United Church was more of a traditional building? Maybe people shy away from more of a traditional building, but we're kind of a nondescript building. And so people are maybe less timid to walk. A lot of questions. But just like Paul and Silas and Timothy, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is the Holy Spirit doing? How is the Holy Spirit leading? I hope you're excited about that. I'm very excited about it. To think, what is the Spirit of God? How come he led us right here? Is it because of that? Let's keep that in prayer. Let's pray. Father, it's so exciting to me as I read this passage of Scripture to begin to understand that you don't do anything without there being a purpose. And you are working and leading and guiding us as a church. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We're praying that we will grow as a church. You've put us in this community. We're not downtown, we're not out in some far area, we're right in the middle of a residential area. We have people who could hear us right now if our doors were open. We have people so close that we can reach out and touch them. Lord, why did you put us here? Where are you leading us? What is it that you want us to do? Help us to rethink. Help us to rethink with the guiding of your Holy Spirit. To understand where it is you are leading us so that we can be fruitful in ministry. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they didn't have their eyes on Macedonia. They had their eyes on Asia, Bithynia. But you had your eyes on Macedonia, on an area they weren't even thinking of. And Father, we've got our eyes on Lionel Grew and other places. And we're not even thinking of the boardwalk, but suddenly that comes into the picture. And suddenly we begin to think of the potential and the possibilities. So, Father, I pray, lead us, guide us, and direct us. Because we too, like Paul and Silas and Timothy, desire to share the gospel with people. We want to bring the word of God to people in an effective way so they might come to know Christ. So, Father, just as you led them by your Holy Spirit, continue to lead us. And we pray, Spirit of God, that just as you worked in their hearts, you would work in our hearts in our day and age, that you would lead us into your perfect will. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen.
Please join us again as we continue on our journey through God's Word. Be sure to visit VerdunLaSalleBaptistChurch.com. And click on Weekly Sermons, where you will find podcasts and videos posted from our YouTube channel, VLBC Church. We can also be found on iTunes by searching with the keywords Verdun LaSalle. Until next time, please remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.